Good morning, fellow believers, fellow travelers to a long and endless eternity. It's always good to gather with people who have like interests, like goals, to share together and encourage each other in that journey, in that pursuit. We have a personal accountability. That last song we just sang this morning reminded us that we are all going to be given account of our life's choices and decisions, how we relate it to God's call in our lives and responded to His desire for us. As I pondered a message for this morning, my mind kept going to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Many of you probably know that verse by memory. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So we'd like to use that as a text verse this morning. If you'd like to write down a text verse and take notes, the title of this morning's message is Be Thou an Example of the Believer. Some of you have heard me give the recorded account of a young father who was having some quality time with his four-year-old son. As they were sharing together, the son said to his father, "What is a Christian?" The dad spent some time explaining to his young son what a Christian is, how a Christian should live, and that a Christian is someone who follows Christ, follows the Bible, follows God. And after a lengthy discussion and talk about and definition of a Christian, the little lad looked up to his dad and said, "Dad, have I ever seen a Christian?" We've often heard it said that many people don't read their Bibles. The only Bible that they will read is the life of the Christian who's following God and following what the Scriptures teach. That brings with it a responsibility that we have to be faithful examples of the believer. In the book of Acts, we are told that the saints were first called Christians where? Do you remember? At Antioch. They were given the title of Christians, we are told, and believe, because their lives gave evidence that they were followers of Christ. And so they were given the title of Christian. We claim to be Christians this morning. Are you giving evidence of being a follower of Jesus Christ this morning? As people observe your life and you live your life for God, are you being faithful? The song says, "Brother along on the highway of life, strive to be good and true. Take Jesus with you to aid in the strife. Somebody follows you. Somebody follows you, watching the things you do. Walk in the light and be pure in His sight. Somebody follows you." I'd like this message to especially be a challenge to parents to be an example of the believer. The definition of a believer that our children develop is established by what they observe. What kind of example am I of the believer? We would also like this to be a special challenge for our youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. The Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy, we believe was a young minister. We're not sure how old he was, but he was obviously very young yet. And the Apostle Paul was challenging young Timothy to a life of faithfulness and example worthy of being followed. And he gives these six areas of life that he challenged him in. We want to use those six areas as the 6 points for our message this morning. To just dissect this verse a little bit, what is a believer? How do you define a believer? We won't spend a lot of time in this. We had a message on this just a few months ago. Those who trust in Jesus as Lord and are committed to follow him, to be his disciple, to be his follower. The Savior Jesus Christ entrusts you with his name, Christ. We as Christians identify with Christ. Example. What does it mean to be an example of a believer? An example is to be a pattern of, a model, a representative, someone who will draw others to Christ, as it is in our context, in our message this morning. It's to help to build the kingdom of God on earth. Webster defines an example as one who shows the nature or character of a person or thing to be imitated, to show how. To show how. And so the challenge this morning is to understand God's definition in the scriptures of a believer and to be an example of that as people observe you in my life. What did people see this past week that you work with, that you spoke with, that you talked with, you communication with, you had business relationships with, you met at the grocery store, whatever it might be, where you had exchange with people and with people who maybe only meet you once or maybe they have regular exchange? What is their concept, knowing that you profess to be a Christian? What is their concept of your definition of a Christian? Oftentimes, people who don't identify with us as Anabaptist Christians know very well in detail how we ought to live in the profession of which we are a part. And it's a challenge to us to live up to their expectation, according to the scriptures, obviously. Now, to Timothy, he said that he should be an example of the believer. And first of all, he says, despise not, let no one despise your youth. There's a powerful testimony that flows from the life of young people who are dedicated children of God, followers of Jesus Christ. That has been the case all through time. I remember in the late 60s, early 70s, our family, in the mid-60s actually, our family came out of what we considered the conference setting because of disappointing way people were departing from what we believed to be biblical truth. And there was mockery, and unfortunately there was mockery and questions raised about whether this new cause or step out to be followers of the scriptures as we want it to be was going to amount to anything. And there was one older brother from a neighboring church that used to come to our service occasionally, and he said, do people keep raising the question back at his church as they knew he was going to this more conservative church, do they have any young people? They don't have any young people. There's no future. They don't have any young people. Faithful youth are a powerful testimony of the power of God, the ways of God, and a light and testimony to the world. And God bless you for your faithfulness. Don't let anyone despise or scorn or belittle or diminish or discount your faith in God and your following of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be an example of the believer in faithfulness. It's a tremendous light and testimony. It's not that we exalt ourselves. lift up ourselves, but we exalt Christ in our lives. He encouraged Timothy not to view himself as young, weak, or insignificant. Rather, see his responsibility to encourage believers in their faith in ways that please God. And in so doing, we encourage one another. We are a faithful example. If one lives in ways displeasing to God, people might have reason to look down or mock or make fun of professed Christians. If we aren't faithful, if we don't live according to God's word, if we haven't crucified self, if we're living for self. God wanted Timothy, even though he was young, to be faithful to God in all things and be the kind of leader who would lead by example. And all of us here this morning are leaders in a degree or other. We are all leaders. We all have followers. There are people who are impacted by our lives and our life's choices. And so what are the areas that the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to be an example of the believer in? The first one, our first point, is in word. In word, or in speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our tongue is the avenue or the member through which we give expression to what is deep in our hearts and what is on our minds. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. It's not until the heart is right that the speech will be right, the words will be right. Right words flow from a cleansed heart. Right words. We get out into society. Just this week, I was reminded again, working on a job with a couple subs that were working on the job in a new home, and the language that they were using, it was just swear words in every sentence. They obviously had a very small vocabulary, and I felt convicted after I left that I didn't say something to them about it. But it reveals what's in the heart with people like that. Unfortunately, they're probably godless people. Or maybe they're in church this morning, I don't know. What I know of them, I doubt that they are. But there are double-tongued people also. There are people who live two lives. That may not be the child of God. Talking and communicating is a huge part of our lives. There's a right way and a wrong way to speak. There's the world's language in speech, and there's a Christian, the child of God, speech. And the Apostle Paul is admonishing us here, all of us, to be an example of the believer in word, our tongue, our speech, the things that we say. Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does your speech give evidence that you have a renewed mind, a cleansed heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That verse that we have, I didn't look up where it says, thy speech bewrayeth thee. Your speech, the things that you say, the words that flow from your tongue, reveal who you really are, who I really am this morning. Be an example of the believer in word. The things that you say testify of who you really are. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's better to be of few words than to speak vain and empty words. reminds me of the little poem I think our children learned in first grade about the wise old owl that lived in the oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? Do you still learn that in first grade? I don't know if they still do or not. Let's be wise and discreet with our words. May our words be seasoned with salt, if you will, and give testimony of a godly life. An example of the believer in word. Point number two, in conversation. Be an example of the believer in conversation. The word conversation, as it is used in the King James Version, we are told, has to do with one's complete character. In conversation, one's complete character, one's behavior, or character of life, the manner in which one behaves or acts. As you think of your life, the things you say that we already looked at, the way you behave yourself, the way you conduct yourself, the way you respond to life circumstances, the positive and the negative, how do you respond to that? Be an example of the believer in your actions, your responses. Are we a complainer? Are we known to be a complainer, a grumbling person, rude or arrogant? Or is our life one that displays gratitude, joy of life, testimony of what the Lord has done for us? God is good. Pleasantness, godliness, contentment. Are they the qualities that flow from your and my life this morning? We want to be an example of the believer in our conversation. Our whole of life should bear testimony that we are a child of God. Again, our neighbors who know that we profess to be Christians know about how we should live. They do. They know where we should draw our lines, how we should respond to life circumstances, where we draw the line and what we involve ourselves in, and where we draw the line and we don't involve ourselves. Manner of life. Be an example of the believer. Be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Express that joy. Be known to be a pleasant person. We should be the most joyous, happy people this morning. No, life doesn't all come to us as we would desire it would. But if we are in Christ, we are in God, life should be fulfilling, satisfying, and we ought to be pleasant people, joyous people, living in godliness and contentment. Not being a complaining, grumbling, rude, arrogant person. Point number three, example of the believer in charity, which we know is love. We know no love except the love that we have learned of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The giving love, the selfless love. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave. How do we show love? We show love by giving and giving and giving to others, reaching out to others. Unconditional love found only in Christ Jesus flows from the life of the child of God, of the Christian. It is perfect love that saved us from our lost condition. And God then wants to take that love in our hearts, that perfect love, if you will, and reach out to the needs of others. Love we experience when we follow Christ. It's the kind of love we need to share, to be an example of, so others will want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be a follower of the ways of God. Love that is selfless, sacrificial, and willing to serve others. Love that is showed through compassion and caring. Do your neighbors know you to be kind, compassionate, loving people that want to help to meet the needs of other people? Is that how our neighbors know us? Your brothers and sisters in the church, are you known to have God's love, Christ's love, flowing from your life? They see it in daily action by your sensitivity to people who may be struggling. It may be the person next to you on the bench this morning, in front of you, or just behind you in the service here this morning. Are you sensitive to the journey of other people and showing the love of Christ and support that the child of God should? Be thou an example in charity, in love. Reach out as God lays it on your heart, and you have opportunity and the ability to do so. Be an example in charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that beautiful love chapter, the charity chapter. You know, it takes more than just saying, as he says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We can't just be expressing love. I love you. I love you. I care. And not do those things that we are able to do to assist or help people who have needs. Be an example of the believer. You can have the gift of prophecy. You can understand mysteries. You can have all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of faith that you can remove mountains. But if you don't have charity, you don't show love, you aren't a compassionate person, it avails nothing. It's of no value. But those good things, you have knowledge and you have faith that you can remove mountains, and it is born from a heart of love and compassion, the love and compassion of Christ, you can move mountains. You can help to move mountains in people's lives that are a stumbling block to them. And in so doing, you will also be blessed. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, go to all kinds of extents. If I don't have charity, it profiteth me nothing. Then it gives some encouraging aspects of love and charity. It suffers long. It's kind. Charity doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. That sounds like you brothers here this morning, doesn't it? Does that sound like you? Sisters, does that sound like you? Seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, and on he goes. Be an example of the believer in charity, in love. God help us to grow and be more Christ-like. Christ came not to serve himself. He came to be a servant and meet the needs of mankind. And we are here to be little Christ, little Christians. Let's be faithful in expressing the love of Christ. Point number 4, example of the believer in spirit. In spirit, of what spirit are you? Well, we want to be Holy Spirit driven. But of what character and spirit are we? Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do we have that right spirit, that godly characteristic that is defined in the child of God? Proverbs 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. We want to be of a Christ-like spirit, guided by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. What? Sometimes we look at the opposites of a clean heart and a right spirit? What's an unruled spirit look like? It's fearful, makes bad decisions, it's hasty, overreacts, soon angry, acts selfishly, given into lust, it's unkind. Some consequences of an unruled spirit. May that not define any one of us. May we be of controlled character by the Holy Spirit of God. Meek in spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. A meek and quiet spirit can connect with people and show God's love and show God's way in an acceptable way. It's empowering. A meek and a quiet spirit. Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God puts a premium on a meek and a quiet spirit, a controlled spirit, a right spirit within me. Be an example in spirit, your godly life. Again, how you respond to life's tests says really a lot about your inner character. Be an example of the believer in spirit. Point number 5, example of the believer in faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must be men and women of faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God or to really know God. None of us have seen God physically at any time. It's of faith that we believe in him. Do we have a living, active faith in God? Do we believe that he is? I believe we do this morning. By faith, we believe God is real. He is real. And we are his children. You cannot know someone you didn't know exists, someone has said. So we claim to know God, then we need to first of all believe that he exists. And I trust none of us are here this morning questioning his existence. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, I believe, is in Exodus verse 9. If we have faith, it will make us bold to speak the truth of God to those whom we meet. Am I an example of the believer by an act of faith expressing itself in my daily living? Does my daily life, am I being an example of someone who believes that there's a God that is in control of all things? He's in control of what he allows to come into my life and into my family's life and into the world all around us. A belief in God. Be an example in faith. It's the only way we can please him and live a life according to his word and his will, and be an example in that way. And finally, number 6, example of the believer in purity. Purity, according to the Bible, means morally clean, without blemish. We know that is only possible by the cleansing power and blood of Jesus Christ. We are born in sin. We come to that point in our lives where we realize that we are unclean outside of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. To be morally clean means to abstain from all sin and to follow Christ perfectly. Purity is freedom from immorality The world's standard of morality is not God's standard of morality. Holiness of thought and life and actions. Let us never become accustomed to the world's standard of morality. It's a deteriorating standard. Purity that starts on the inside, the heart and the mind, by the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them who are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. I've met people over the years, and you probably have too, some of you. People, when you hear them talk, you know they just have a defiled mind. They don't have a pure mind, a cleansed mind. Be an example in purity. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way or sinfulness in my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. It needs to be the constant prayer of the child of God. Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of life and heart, speech, and just the whole of life again. Be an example of the believer in purity. That is a powerful testimony again, as people would witness youth who live in purity, have a high standard of morality, are following God's standard of morality, not man's standard. Be an example in purity. So this challenge is for all of us, especially you youth. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you can be the example that God would have you to be, that Jesus would have you to be. Let no man despise your youth. Let no man despise any of you in your example of the believer. We can't do this on our own. It's by God's presence, Jesus' presence in our heart and life, and the Holy Spirit's empowering, brothers and sisters, this morning, that we can be an example of the believer. May God be exalted in your life. May a powerful testimony flow from each individual life here this morning. A clear testimony of what a child of God is. Dad, have I ever seen a Christian? There's dads here this morning. Have your children seen a Christian? Mothers, have your children seen a Christian? Have they seen good examples? Oh, we feel our imperfections. But they will notice if our heart is after God or not. Let's let true definitions of what a child of God is in the hearts and minds and the forming minds of our children with God, by God's grace and help. We can't do it on our own. It's by a full dedication and commitment to Jesus Christ. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in the all of life. Father in heaven, we bow before thee this morning with a feeling of unworthiness. In and of ourselves, we are not worthy of your love, your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your loving kindness to us. But we rejoice this morning in the great love that you, God our Father, had for the world, for each of us individually, that you sent your Son to be the Savior that we can come to. We thank you for life that we can have in Him. Holiness of life, separate from the contamination of the world and its allurements. Thank you for your word that we can look into again this morning and search each of our hearts. Cleanse us from sin through your blood and your power. Help us resign ourselves to you and be a faithful servant, a faithful witness, a faithful example of a follower of yours. Pray a special blessing on our youth this morning, that you help them to be strong, to love your word, and overcome the wicked one, that their lives may be a testimony of your working power in their life and experience. Help them to be victorious. Pray for our young parents this morning. Give them grace and wisdom, provision. Guide them in the challenges and the direction of guiding their families from day to day. Bless our children as they grow up among us. May they find and see in we followers of yours a worthy example that they could come to love and want to follow and be your children as they grow older. Bless our grandparents and each one here this morning, wherever we find our role in life. Help us to be faithful and be that faithful example for your glory and the benefit of each of us as we share together. In Jesus' name, amen.